That's why he is going to the outer darkness in the lake of fire. Not because he was not a good investor for God. It's because he did not believe a word that the Master said. Manifested by him taking this talent and burying it so that when the Master doesn't show up, I get it. Now, what about believers? Is there an application here? It's been my observation over the years in the church that there are many that the enemy has been pretty successful in convincing them that they have no talents. We're done with this section in Matthew. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. I want to show you some ideas here. I want to show you who has been given talents. If any of us in the room have thought, well, I can't preach like Pastor so-and-so. I can't play an instrument like some of these guys up here. I don't think I have any talents. Number one, that's theologically incorrect. Because if the enemy can get you believing that you don't have any talents, when the opportunity presents itself, you'll hear that tape playing. Don't say anything. You don't know enough about Bible prophecy. Chapter 12, the book of Romans. Let's put up our first slide here. In three places in the New Testament, we're going to learn about spiritual gifts. There's three things that the Apostle Paul says, hey, Harvest, don't be ignorant about. Don't be ignorant about the rapture or end times Bible things. Don't be ignorant about spiritual warfare. And don't be ignorant about spiritual gifts. Chapter 12, verse 1, the Apostle Paul says this, hey, Harvest, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Dead ones are easy. They don't flop around and they don't crawl off of the altar. It's you and me living sacrifices that are on for a minute until we see what we see, and we jump right back off. Present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Meaning, we can do this. Now watch what happens. And then verse 2, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Then you may prove. Great word in the Greek, dokimazo. And it means you'll be able to test or to prove that a thing is genuine. You'll be able to prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do you want to know what God's will is? Here it comes. Verse 3, I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, that means all of us, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. That's typically not true of most of us. Most of us are pretty aware of our limitations. But let's keep cruising. But to think soberly as God has dealt to each one. That word there means divided with a very close attention. God has dealt with or divided among to us each one. How many of you are an each one? Let me see your hand. Everybody, come on. You are an each one. You have some of this. Verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, I have fingers and toes, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Now pay close attention. Verse 6. Having then, what's your next word? Gifts. Now circle that if you have a highlighter. Circle that and write a word. It's a Greek word, and the Greek word here for gifts is charismata. And it comes from the root word charis, which means gifted. These are gifts given to who, everybody? All of us. He said so. Each one of us has been divided to some of these charismata. Let us, say it with me, use them. If prophecy, then let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. What is prophecy? It's declaring God's truth. When Paul uses the word prophecy in the book of Acts and some of these other places, he is most often speaking of teaching God's word, more specifically, proclaiming what God's word has said. Prophesy, says God to Elijah. He took Elijah to a valley of bones, exceedingly dry. Hey, Elijah, can these bones be made to live? They're pretty dry, Lord. Thou knowest. Prophesy to the bones. Prophesy what? Blah, 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 and speak in tongues. It could be, but I don't think so. Prophesy to the bones means read what I've already said about Israel. It's in plenty of other locations. Speak the word. Rise up, you bones, etc. So prophecy is the foretelling of God's word. And it can be the foretelling as well. But for simplicity's sake, what is prophecy? Declaring God's truth. And then next, how about ministry? We could call that service because the word means exactly that. That's modeling God's truth. And he who teaches, well, how is that different from prophecy? Prophecy is speak the word of the Lord boldly, believing that God's word is powerful. Teaching is clarifying God's word. Exhortation is another word for encouragement. That's recalling God's truth to somebody. When you encourage them when they're down, the best way to do so is to remind them about the Bible's promises or the Bible's stories of other men and women who have gone through the same thing. You are operating in a measure of faith, this spiritual gift, charismata, encouragement. How about he who gives with liberality? That's expanding God's truth. I got an illustration for you in just a moment. And then he who leads, let's call that one administration. There are some people that are supernaturally gifted to break down the biggest blob of whatever into manageable bite-sized pieces and make heads or tails. Administration. And then finally, mercy. Radiating God's truth. I got a great little story for you. Let's say, for instance, that I'm here and I'm all parched. And I happen to see Noah, my son. I say, Noah, can you get Dad a glass of water? He goes, no problem, Dad. He bounces up and he sprints back to the kitchen. And he comes running back. Here's your water, Dad. But he trips on a little something, a snag in the carpet. And he goes down and the glass shatters and the water is wasted. Now, let's say that that happened. If you have the gift of prophecy, you might take Noah aside and say, listen carefully, the world is full of carpet snags and pitfalls. Be careful how you walk, and walk straightly, and walk carefully, young man. Noah would say, okay. What if you had the gift of service or ministry? You wouldn't say anything. You would just jump up, find a mop in the closet, get the bucket, mop and broom, clean the whole thing up before anybody noticed. What if you have the gift of teaching? They would take Noah aside and they would say, hey, Noah, when you carry a glass of water, make sure that you wipe away all the condensation from the outside of the glass. Then apply equal pressure with both hands, grip tightly, walk slowly, eyes constantly sweeping back and forth, up and down. You know what? I've prepared a nice PowerPoint slide just to how to do the same thing right there. If you have the gift of exhortation, Noah, dude, you almost made it. You were so close. Here, I'll take you back to the sink. We'll get another glass. What do you say? Let's do this. The gift of giving. If you saw that whole tragic accident, you're already writing a check to have chilled water dispenser placed in the green room for Pastor Steve and the ministry team. And you've already noticed that, you know what? The carpet is kind of getting old looking right here. And it's in deep need of steam cleaning. Check that. How can new people possibly concentrate on the message with such a tattered, dirty carpet distracting them? They make a mental note. First thing tomorrow, we will get the best price in town. Pleasant, durable new carpet. What about the gift of administration? They think, Who put that whole stair thing here anyway? Poor design. We should really put in a ramp, not stairs. And then begins to scratch notes on refining the budget for the next board meeting and writes the names of three contractors in the church to bid the project. What about the gift of mercy? They hold their arm out to poor Noah. Bring it in. Bring it in. Come here, buddy. I know just how you feel. I used to spill things too. Let's pray together. We're not done yet. Oh, no, no, no. We're not done. Gift of teaching here. Very sorry. PowerPoint. Would you join me now in the book of Ephesians chapter 4? But we're almost done. Give a guy with a teaching gift a PowerPoint. He's pretty happy. Chapter 4. Would you join me in chapter 4, verse number 7? But to each one of us, how many of you are an each one of us? Grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Charismata, right in your margin, Romans 12, verse 5. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. When he sparked the church into existence is what Paul is meaning. Verse 9. Now this, he ascended, what did that mean? Except that he descended into the lower parts of the earth. Now, he who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. Verse 11, and he, Jesus, himself gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Why did he do that when he started the church? Here's your answer, verse 12. For the equipping of the saints to do the work of the ministry. And that word for ministry is diakonoion. What does that mean? Well, that's the verb tense. The noun is diakonos, and that's where we're going to get our word deacon from. In the verb sense, it is to minister. That's what he's saying here. Why does God give apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers? So that they can have the sweetest parking spot in the front. So that they can walk around with chest expanded. No. Diakonos is to serve. The gifting of apostles is to the governing of the church, the sent out ones. A trick question. Who's the very first apostle of the church in the scriptures? It's Jesus. God the Father sent out Jesus. Jesus appointed 12, and then later on in the book of Acts, they appointed theirs as well. Then prophets, that's guiding ministry to the church. Sometimes God's word has to be spoken to the pastor or perhaps by the pastor. Then there's evangelists. What are they gifted to do? They gather people. They have an innate ability to do just that. Then pastor. I like this moniker. To guard the flock. I think that there are some people that get pastor mixed up with star of the show. Shepherd. And what was the shepherd to do? Was he to entertain the sheep? I'm spinning my plates. Doing all these things. And you gotta go. That's our man, that's our pastor, star of the show. What's a shepherd supposed to do? He's got a crook in one hand to guide the sheep. What's in the other hand? Club. You mean for the sheep? No. The club is for the wolves. A true pastor is not the star. The true pastor is to guard his family. And sometimes guarding on this family means that a shepherd has to say no. Come on, pastor. You're dragging my thing. And then, of course, teacher, that's the grounding of the church. Now, I want to take you to one last place. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Here's some more. This is important. And you'll see how it's going to all come together here in just a minute. Chapter number 12, 1 Corinthians, look there at verse number 1. Paul says, now concerning spiritual Now you have gifts, but I want you to notice something. The word gifts is in italics. What does that mean? That means that the actual word charismata is not in the original letter. Paul didn't say concerning spiritual gifts. Paul said concerning spirituals. What does that mean? That's manifestations, or in a minute, outshinings. The gifts are the gifts we saw in Romans chapter 12. The service of the church, Ephesians 4. And when we step out in our Romans chapter 12 gifts, they may look like these. Join me in verse number 4. There are different kinds of gifts. There's your word, gifts, charismata, but the same Spirit. Right, Romans 12. There are different kinds of ministries. There's Ephesians 4, verse 7. But the same Lord. And there are different kinds of activities, which we're going to see here in a minute. But it is the same God who works all in all. And they are manifestations. They are an outshining of when the Spirit is at work. Given to, what are the next two words? Each one. How many of you are in each one? For the profit of all. To one is given the word of wisdom. That's the supernatural ability to take all the swirl of information and suddenly you know what needs to be done. And another, a word of knowledge through the same Spirit. Knowledge is the supernatural ability to know something about somebody or some situation that there's no humanly way you could have known that. That gift operates often in our prayer time after service. I wish I had time to tell you of all the things that have happened. Does the name so-and-so mean something to you? How did you know that? And that person, knowing it's an outshining of a spiritual gift, they say, wasn't me, it was God. What is that person who heard that little bit of information that there's no way another human would have known that? Who gets the glory there? God does. To another, faith. To another, gifts of healings by the Spirit. We've had those in this church. Literal, bona fide, get the x-ray out, what? We've had those here. To another, the working of miracles. We've had that here. And the other, prophecy. To the other, the discernment of spirits. Please underline spirits. There are people that say, I have the gift of discernment. And that's not right. The outshining is literally the discernment of spirits. Paul operated in that in the book of Acts when the lady was coming behind him saying, you guys are the Most High God. You should listen to these guys. For 3 days, she was saying the right thing, but she was of the wrong spirit. And boy, do we need that spiritual outshining here at Harvest and here in these last days. Because there's going to be demons all through God's work. Doctrine of demons. And we got to have people operating in the spirit of discernment of spirits to say, brother or sister, actual case in point. This particular member was in our church for quite some time and hung out at our prayer times. And something wasn't right. Just wasn't right. Hearing that this person was leaving books and pamphlets and other things around this church and ministry. And then when we came to this person about these things and talked to them more specifically, at first they were saying the right things, and then the Spirit of the Lord led me specifically to ask a certain line of questions. And out it came. And realized that this person was not of the same Spirit. But you would have never known that because you would have seen that person in the fellowship hall on several occasions. Shoulder to shoulder with them in prayer on several occasions. I just heard from another source of where that person is right now. Can I pray real quickly? Lord Jesus, my heart is broken for this person. I know that they are currently of the wrong spirit. Deliver them, we ask, Lord Jesus Christ. deliver them to the saving and true knowledge of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, we commit them into your hands. Now back to our study. We're almost done. The power to know, healings, miracle, prophecy, discernment of spirits, the power to do, and then finally, different kinds of tongues and another who interpret tongues. That's the power to speak. And we have teachings, by the way, on how tongues is to work. Would you join me in prayer? Lord, we spent a little time this morning in doctrine. And doctrine's not sexy. It's not fun and exciting as some lines of study. But Lord, we are supposed to be able to endure sound doctrine. Pray, Lord God, that your Spirit has touched every heart this morning. And I'm mindful, Lord, about, well, what spiritual gifts do I have? Please, Harvest family, if you're not sure, ask God to show you. Get your Bible concordance out and go through all of the giftings there in Romans 12, the service expression in Ephesians 4, and then the outshining here in 1 Corinthians 12. And Lord, would you show me what it is that I have? God says if you delight yourself in him, he gives you the desires of your heart. Look into your own heart. What is it that you think about and you think, I'd like to try that? To every beautiful one of your sons and daughters this morning, what it is you would have them to do to step out in their gifts. A wicked and worthless servant doesn't really believe that Jesus is coming back, doesn't really believe that there are rewards in heaven, doesn't really buy the fact that everything I do has eternal implications. And even if I am saved, Lord, and I do believe you are coming back, but if there's a portion of me that wants to bury my talent, oh Lord, by the gentle nudge of your Spirit this morning, would you show me I'm not supposed to do that? And maybe the dryness in my current walk with you, Lord, maybe the dryness is because I don't believe I have any spiritual giftings, service ministries, or outshinings. We have seen very clearly this morning that every one of us do. Oh, Harvest family, step out in your giftings. Step out in that which you know God has called you, nudged you to start. Well, I can't teach like you, Steve. I can't sing or play an instrument. Can you listen without speaking? Oh, I can do that. Then get to one of the old folks' home. Get to one of the places where I know that there are men and women who are lonely. You can sit and listen to them. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, may Harvest be about your business when you return. And how we do that is by following the gifts that you have given us and invest our talents so that we can one day soon hear, well done, good and faithful servant. In Jesus' name, and all the loved ones of the Lord said, amen.